Good morning. Are we happy for the Christmas that we celebrated last week? Yes, right? Yeah, on Monday. Seems like forever. Yeah. Let us pray, please. Father, we want to thank you this morning, for you are good, you are wonderful, you are marvelous. There is none like unto you in heaven and earth. Your servant is here. I'm asking, Lord, that you are going to use me to your glory, that at the end of this service, we all will give you the glory and honor that you deserve for using me to bring your word across to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. I will start reading from verse 7. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attend to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take sure a view of things, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave. For I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross. Their destiny is destruction. Their goal is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be his glorious body. Like you've already seen in the outline, our topic today is pressing on toward the goal. Pressing on toward the goal. My brothers and sisters, no matter where you are in your walk with Christ, it is not too late to begin pursuing a deeper relationship with him. You may be passionate about Jesus, or you may know him only on a surface level. It is wise to do as the Apostle Paul urged the brethren in this passage, to press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, according to Philippians 3, 4. No one can know God apart from his word. Therefore, we need to spend time at his word. We must be willing to spend time alone with the Father in prayer, meditation, and worship. We have just celebrated Christmas, and we remember that Jesus is the reason for the season. Because he's the reason for the season, that's why Paul has encouraged us this morning in this passage that we want to look into, that we have to know what the goal is all about. We all have goals in life in what we want to be, or what we want to achieve. This year that is running out, we had many goals on what to achieve. And next year, many of us have already set up plans on what to achieve. So, and what is that goal that Paul wants you and I to know about? So, Paul tells us that to know Christ and the power that resurrected him, that was his goal. His goal was to know Christ and the power that resurrected him. Therefore, it is expedient on you and I to know if we have the same goal as we run the Christian race, to know Christ. And what does it mean to know Christ? To know Christ means to know or to believe in him who has saved you. We celebrated Christmas, and Christmas was a time we remember the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that Jesus came into the world to die for you and for me. If we celebrated Christmas for the gifts alone, we erred. Because the super gift that we received was Jesus Christ, and is still Jesus Christ. So, but you may be here this morning and you have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a church goer. You can speak Christianese. Hallelujah. Amen. You say all those. Yeah. You speak all those languages and you call yourself a Christian. That does not make you a Christian. What makes you a Christian is you seeing yourself as an unbeliever or a sinner, that you cannot save yourself. You ask Christ to come into your life. Then and then alone, you will become a child of God. It is one of those things that Paul told us in verses 4 to 6 of our passage. Paul tells us of all his self-righteousness. He told us that he was circumcised on the 80th day and was of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, a Pharisee, and a persecutor of the Christians. And he was a legalistic person, righteous. And in that way, he said he was faultless. Even in his legalism, he was faultless. He had 7 criteria that would make him to be puffing up. Yes, I have achieved. But he said, I laid them aside. I counted them as loss because they couldn't save him. I don't know what you're holding strong today that may be holding you from accepting Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. Is it your own legalism? If it is one of those, today, I'm telling you, brethren, you need to set them aside. Like Paul said, he has set aside all those things that initially he was holding tight, holding strong, but he laid them aside so that he might gain Christ. So you have to lay aside all those things that are holding you in running the Christian race, and then get the power that God gives through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that power can only come to you when you see yourself in the condition you are in and you ask Christ to come into your life. And that's why Acts 1:8 tells us, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses, starting from Judea to Samaria, to the uttermost part of, starting from Jerusalem to Judea, to the uttermost part of the earth. And I thank God for Alicia, who was introduced to us here, who is doing some work over there in Malaysia. We thank God for her and for other missionaries who are in other parts of the world and also who are here in Long Beach. They are serving the Lord. So you will receive that power. So he wanted to experience the power that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said they want to share in the sufferings of the Lord. Many of you may know that Paul was the greatest persecutor of Christians. He was the greatest persecutor of Christians. And do you know what? He was also the greatest persecuted Christian. The greatest persecuted Christian. He said he counted all those as rubbish, as dung, in order to press forward for the goal of knowing Christ. My question again, what have you counted as loss in your Christian race? Your degrees, your money, or your name, okay, your establishment, are you holding them tightly? Paul said he laid them aside and was pressing forward to know Christ. So we need to hold firm to Jesus Christ. And we need to die to our sin. We need to die to our sin. And that's why in First Thessalonians 4:16 and 17. For the Lord himself came down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So you and I, as we run the Christian race, remember that Jesus is coming soon. And as he's coming soon, he's going to take you and I who have believed. But those who have not believed, you are not going to be taken. And in John 5:28-29, he says, do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to life, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. So you and I, you know where you are. Have you done good and you are proud of your self-righteousness? Remember, I told you before, Paul said he laid all those self-righteousness aside in order to win Christ. You need to lay yours aside too, so that you'll be able to win Christ. So he said that he need to experience the resurrection from the dead, just like I've read here, the resurrection from the dead. Paul's goal was heaven and the resurrection that comes for the just and unjust. The unjust, we go to hell. The just, we go to heaven. So remember this as you run your race. Furthermore, Paul says, running the race. Press on, no matter the cost. It costs a lot to serve the Lord. Many of you may not know that. And when I talk of cost, it's not about just financial cost, but the cost. Life, it causes poverty, it causes stress, it causes whatever you can think of. Many people are being martyred today for the sake of Christ in many parts of the world. Just like Paul experienced such things. The persecutions he went through, shipwrecks he went through. He said, pressing on, no matter the cost, according to verse 12 of our text. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. He said, he has not arrived. I'm still pressing on. I'm still working hard to make it to heaven, but not through his own self-effort, because our self-effort cannot save us. And that's why Paul also tells us in Ephesians 3, 8 and 9, that you are saved by grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. So you and I should not be boasting of whatever condition we are in, thinking that we are perfect people, that we have made it. But remember also that Paul says that if any man or woman is in Christ, he or she is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new, if you are in Christ. But if you are not in Christ, you are still in your old nature. Your old nature is still controlling you. Your sin is still controlling you. Your sin nature. But when you become a child of God, you receive the degree, BA, born again into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Yes, you receive that BA, born again into the kingdom of God. Many of us have the worldly BAs. Those ones have meal ticket. They give us meal. But the BA that Paul told us in John 3:16, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have an everlasting life. You get that BA, being born again into the kingdom of God. It's good you got your BA, BSc, or AA, whatever degrees you got here in this world. They are all meal ticket. But you need to get the degree to get into the kingdom of God. And that degree is BA, born again into the kingdom of God. You see yourself as a sinner, that you cannot save yourself. You ask Christ to come into your life. When he comes into your life, you become a child of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's not through your effort. It's not through my effort that you became a child of God. So if you are not a child of God and you are here this morning, you need to see yourself in the condition you are in, that Christ came and died for you to set you free, like he set me free, like he set some of us here free. You can be free indeed also. So Paul's focus was, he says, forgetting all that lies behind, but then pressing forward. You need to press forward for the upward call of God for you and for me. And Paul says in 2 Timothy 4:8, now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. That's an award, a crown of righteousness, awaiting for you, awaiting for you, for you, for you, for me. If we have made peace with the Prince of Peace, you need to make peace with Christ. You need to allow him to become the Lord of your life. When he becomes the Lord of your life, then you can be proudly say like Paul, I have run the race. I am looking forward to that which the Lord will give to those who have run the race successfully. Are you looking forward to running the race successfully? Please do. Even as we enter the new year, remember that the old year, I call it the old year. This is the last day. We have a few hours before this year will be over. All the struggles you went through, all the goals you said that you did not reach, but next year, you look forward to a higher level in everything, in your prayer life, in your commitment to Christ, in your working with family members, the church members. You have to walk in a greater level, pressing forward, not looking behind. Paul said, I don't want to look behind. I want to look forward. I want to face forward. You have to press towards the goal. And what is your own goal? Paul said, one of his first goals is to know Christ. To know Christ. Furthermore, the high calling of God in Christ. The high calling of God in Christ. Verse 14. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. The high calling. That is the highest calling for you and I, to make it to heaven. To make it to heaven. The highest calling. Because if we here on earth, we rejoice in all that we have, Paul says that we are the most miserable people on earth. And that's why Christianity is different from all other religions. Other religions, they just want to be happy. I don't know if you know that. Why are Muslims killing the Christians all over the world? Do you know their goal? For the men, they want to have 7 wives. And the women, they want to get a husband. So they kill as many Christians they kill, then they get more wives when they get to heaven. Is it what we were promised? No. As many wives. Those of you who are married, I don't know how simple it is for you with one wife. To talk more of having 7 wives. And you know what? I happen to come from such a polygamous family. My father had 8 wives. So it wasn't easy coming from a polygamous family. So for the Muslims, they want to go to heaven with as many people that they kill, and then they will get married to many wives as possible. That's not the promise of God to you and I. The promise of God to you and I is for us to our bodies to be changed. We have mortal bodies, but when Christ comes to take us home, we will have an immortal body, a body that will be changed, a body that will be changed. And there in heaven, you and I will be rejoicing. Edison will not be there. Solar light will not be there. The light of God is what will be shining in you and on me and on everybody that believes. So, the high calling of God. First of all, the high calling of God is for repentance, like I said before. Acts 17:30. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. So repentance is expected of everybody. 180 degrees turnaround is what is expected of you and I. But if you have repented, bravo, good job. But remember, it wasn't your effort that made you to become a Christian. It's only God who made it possible for you. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God who has called you into fellowship with his Son, with his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. He who has called you is faithful. He is going to lead you to the successful end. He has called you, he has called me. He's faithful to lead you to a successful end. So do not relax. Do not relent. He's able to do it. Furthermore, Acts 13:2. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Paul for the work for which I have called them. So a call for repentance or salvation, a call to complete dedication, a call for service and ministry, or a holy living. There are different calls. Remember, it's called a high calling of God. So a call to service. Like I referred today, or in fact before, about Alicia and others who are serving the Lord. I thank God also for his calling in our life, my wife and I, serving the Lord, both here in the United States and in Nigeria. So we go back and forth, serving the Lord. This is answering the call of God. So many of you are doing such things too. But I want to let you know that your crown of righteousness is waiting for you. Paul said it's not only for him, but for others who have done the same thing. So I want to thank all of you who have been a part to the ministry of Eternal Word Communication Ministries. And some of you must have seen it in our videos, that in one of the buildings at the school there, is the hall is called Long Beach Alliance Hall. So we have, because of the part Long Beach Alliance is playing in our ministry over there in Nigeria, so that hall forever will remain Long Beach Alliance Hall, because we remember what the Lord has been doing through Long Beach Alliance Church, through individuals here in the church. We are very happy. Remember, when we get to heaven and Eternal Word Communication Ministries will be called up, I'm just believing that. And the students there will say, oh yeah, thank you for the work you did. Some of you will be asking, when did I go to Nigeria to minister there? But when you prayed for us, when you gave, whatever you did through us, you get your crown over there. You are going to get lots of crowns for what you have done through Long Beach Alliance Church, through Eternal Word Communication Ministries. Don't give up. God is on the throne. Many of you who have been following with us, we started the school with 6 students in 1999. But as we are speaking, we have not less than 800 students at the school. Not less than 800 students. And we started the church in 2003. We don't have less than 50 members in the church. All the credit goes to all of you who have been a part, and to the church, the entire church. So don't give up. Your crowns are building up. Hallelujah. Your crowns are building up. So they call the high calling of God, a call for service, a call for ministry, and a call for holy living. God knows that. Then mature Christians must realize that they are not perfect. Paul tells us this in verses 15 through 17. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers. Take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave. So, many of us are mature, some are not. But Paul says, look unto me as I look unto Jesus. There are many who have been Christians for many years in the church here and other places. They are still baby Christians. They are still baby Christians. They are not grounded in the Word of God. There's no doubt about that. But you need to grow higher next year. Grow higher next year in your study of the Word of God, in your prayer life, in whatever you are doing for God. Do it in a higher level next year. And that's why also Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 3, 1 to 3. Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? So, we don't want you to continue to be in that premature level, year in, year out. We want you next year to advance to a greater level of studying the Word of God, having a more prayer time with the Lord, alone, with your family, with other Christians. So when you do all this, God's name will be glorified. So for you to say, you like Paul, that Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ, it must be that there are certain things you are doing as a Christian that God expects you to do, that you are happy you are doing it, and you want people to copy you. Teachers, they tell their students to watch them. Parents tell their kids, watch them. But if you are not telling your kids to watch you, people around you to watch you, it means something is wrong. But you should ask them to watch you in the good things you are doing, not the bad things. But do you know, children always know the bad things first. It's easier for them to copy the bad ones. So therefore, you need to be doing the right thing. Some parents, I remember when I was back home in Nigeria, if somebody is owing somebody some money and that person comes to the person's house unannounced and knocks at the door, and then the parent will tell the child, tell him or her that I'm not here. Do you know what the child will say? My mom and dad said I should tell you that I'm not here. Because they don't know how to lie. So they will say it the way you said it. And the child knows that you are here and you're telling him to, or her to tell, to lie. But she will say it say it the way they see it. So the best thing to do is do not lie. Do not do bad things. So that when people see you wanting in those areas, then you see you'll be ashamed of yourself. And it happens that our society is a shame-filled society. That anything a person does in our Nigerian culture, it brings shame to the family. Unlike here, it's individualistic, it's your business. But there, it is our business. So you don't have to start doing any bad thing because it will affect everybody. So Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So be ye imitators of Christ. Be ye imitators of Paul. So brethren, let us learn to imitate Christ always. And then in verses 18 through 19, we are told there are enemies of the cross. And those who are enemies of the cross, their end or destiny is destruction, eternal judgment. Their God is their belly. They worship sensual desires, sexual immorality, and lust. Their glory or reputation consists of their shame, and finally, their mind is on earthly things rather than on heavenly things. So there are people who are very, very pompous of their worldly accomplishments. And for that becomes their God, quote and unquote. It shouldn't be the case. Our number one priority should be God. Anything that takes away first priority in your life from God, that thing is now your God. So let your mind be set on Christ. Let it be set on God, not on the things that are here on earth, because all the things that are here on earth will all vanish away. But if you think you'll be taking any of your possessions over there, even if you are going to hell or to heaven, you are making a mistake. There was a rich man in Nigeria who, when he died, because he had a lot of riches, so he told his family, when I die, bury me with my jewels, bury me with lots of money. But have you seen anybody who died, assuming with all the money you had in your hand, you were holding them? And when you die, what do? You open up your hand, you leave them here. But this person wanted to go to the grave with all the money he had. After the burial, do you know what happened? Thieves went to the grave and dug out the jewels and the money. No way, you can't take this with you. Naked you came from to this world, and naked you will go. That's what the Bible says. So you cannot go with all your possessions here. Nobody will go with anything. The best thing you will go, the clothing, or jewels, whatever you have on your body when they bury you. That's it. So if all our fight, all our labor here is just to make it, to get this, to get that, that's nothing wrong with that. But it's when those things possess you. There are people whom their possessions are possessing them. Do you know that? There are people whom their possessions are possessing them. And that's a bad thing. So don't allow your possessions to possess you. So the Bible tells us in verses 18 through 19, their end or destiny is destruction, eternal punishment. Their God is their belly. Their glory or reputation consists of shame, and their mind is on earthly things, not on heavenly things. So that's why, brethren, my advice to all of us is to be heavenly minded. To be heavenly minded. And that's why Paul also tells us that our citizenship is in heaven, not on earth. In this world, Christians are aliens, strangers, even though we are fully involved in this world. We are fully involved here, but we are strangers here on earth. And being strangers, we should be heavenly minded. We will have fellowship with one another here on earth. But then think of the better fellowship, the better koinonia that we're going to have in heaven when we get there. Remember, fellowship has been described as fellows in the same ship. We are fellows in the same ship. So we are having fellowship, communion together as brethren. We are fellows in the same ship. And we, as we commune with one another, let us know that heaven is our goal. Heaven is our goal. There's one singer that many of you may know. He's called Jim Reeves. Jim Reeves, he sang many years ago that this world is not my home. I am just passing through. Can you figure it out with Jim Reeves? Agree with him that you are here passing through. Heaven is your home. It's not my home. Like many of you, I said before, I have a home here, I have a home in Nigeria, I have a third home, which is heaven, and that is the greatest home. Hallelujah. Yes, you have a home here, no matter how beautiful it is. The greatest home is in heaven. So we should walk towards going to a home that is not powered by Edison, but that is powered by God himself. As we do that, God will be glorified. John 17, 14 to 16. I have given them your word, and the world hated them, for they are not of the world, any more than I am of the world. My prayer is that you take them out of the world. Sorry, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So we are here. We have all the possessions, but let not the possessions we have here possess us. They are only instruments we need in order to live out our lives here on earth. But let not our possessions possess us. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. 1 Corinthians 1:7. We are waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. And furthermore, 1 Corinthians 15:49 to 51. And just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of a man from heaven. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will be changed. You will be changed. I will be changed. When the last trumpet shall sound, the dead in Christ will rise. When we rise, we're going to meet our Lord in the air. And so shall we be with him forever. So, brethren, I want us to bear this in mind this morning, that Paul's goal was to know Christ and to achieve heaven. And to achieve all this, he did not do it by his own power. He did it trusting God, trusting Christ, that he's able to make it. So let us, as we get into 2018, be focused in our race. Our race is not of blood, but it's of the power that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's do that. And may God bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.